up the ticket, I guess. You know, John, thanks for that, because I did not remember that. But as soon as you said it, I'm going, absolutely right, absolutely right. And what an amazing time that was. I was new to the church here, and I learned so much from my mentors here, like John. And then the thing that he taught me in that course was love your daughters, because if you don't, somebody else will. And that has stuck in my heart my whole life. A little history about us. We moved here in 1982, Kathy and I, newly married. We farmed in the Westlock area here for 38 years and then gave it up to retirement. We moved to Spruce Grove, but we were members in this chapel for quite some number of years. I was on the elders board for a number of those. I still get excited every time I come to Westlock and drive by this place, usually stopping in to speak with Ken or Keith or who's ever here that day, Carol, Trish. But it's like my second home. The other Dave, who you're going to meet in a minute, most of you, or a lot of you, will know him. I guess there's so many new faces here for me that he will know even less than me. But this is a guy I've known since we were, 10, 12 years old, and never knew how our lives would intertwine in later years. But it's been an amazing journey. He called me one time and said, you need to come to Kenya with me. And I said, yeah. And then he phoned me back 2 months later and he says, have you got your shots? And I said, what are you talking about? He says, well, we're going to Kenya. Go get your shots. We're going. And again, it was, okay, I guess we're going. And I came back all excited, pumped up. And I came into this church, and Wendy Letts pointed it out to me, and she said, Dave, you're talking about Nehemiah Construction, and you're saying we. Does that mean you're part of Nehemiah Construction? And that kind of set me back, too, and I went, oh, I guess I've personalized it. Yes, I am part of Nehemiah Construction. But, it's been quite a journey. I've been with Dave now 18 years, traveling almost 19 now to Kenya and back. I don't know how many trips in the 20s, but we've watched God in our lives. And I want to take you back to the origins of Nehemiah Construction. I'm going to read from Matthew, starting in chapter 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or need clothing and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go to visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And that is kind of the motto of our ministry, that we will go and we will do our best to improve people's lives and to spread his word among them. And I'm going to turn this over to Dave. So, Dave, come on up. I'm supposed to introduce the video. There we go. In 2010, there was a guy by the name of Jeremy Hunka who caught something of what Dave was doing. And Dave invited him to Kenya, and we did a documentary. And so that was an amazing piece of work. In 2020, Jeremy said, hey, I think we should go back. I think we should do this again. So So we invited him back, and this is the result of Jeremy's work. He had a helper with him. We had to hire a drone tech in Kenya because they wouldn't allow us to bring a drone in. So, yeah, we got around a few things, but this is a short video that we'll show you, and then Dave will come up and give you a story or two.
Things that you just can't get out of your mind, out of your heart.
Armona will tell me the lemon is a picture of the wa. Alacarigano, the Pinobu, and the people to a brewerian of it. I mean, I told Mary Abong.
These people are dying because they don't have clean water. It's about hope that there's a future. Turkana people call themselves the forgotten people. Temperatures run 40, 45, 50 degrees Celsius. Many of the challenges are basically based around water. They could travel 25 to 35 kilometers one way to find water for their family. And the consequences of it, cholera, typhoid, all these different diseases, they're all waterborne diseases. The moment I knew that we were supposed to figure out how to drill water wells, I took a walk down to a dried up riverbed, and I saw a little baby sitting in this dried up riverbed, and she was crying. And as I approached the baby, I get up to this well, and about 15 feet down, I see her sister, who's 7 or 8 years old, scooping muddy water into a rusty tin can to bring it up to her little sister. You know, that moment that it sort of hit me, like, these people are dying because they don't have clean water. They are either drinking out of a river that's polluted. If there's no water running in the river, what they do is they start digging in the dried up riverbed, and they'll dig down for 3 feet the first day, and then that dries up, so they're down to 6 feet. I've seen them as deep as 20 feet, and then what happens is the sand caves in when somebody's inside, they'll bury them alive. Their way of life, they just move over 20 feet and start a new well. How can we just turn a blind eye to, you know, these women, children that are dying because they don't have that opportunity to have just clean drinking water? I thought, you know, we're able to do something about it, so I just had to try. Nehemiah Construction Ministries is providing hope by bringing water wells.
We sink these wells all over the desert, where there is no hope, where there is no life, where people are desperate.
The people that are impacted by what we do, well over the 100,000 people that we've helped, they're so appreciative, and that's one of the first things that they say is, our babies aren't dying because we have clean water. We go out to some of these wells that we've drilled, and the women come running. They start to sing songs, you know, thank you for the water, old white man.
Ngaraka budi kecita ni mata ike cha na kotu kan.
We have the water drilling, which is opens the door for so many other things. We have an education program. We'll put them through high school, and we'll also put them through college. Without an education, basically they can't even get a job. It's really a dismal place for them to be, hopeless, let's say.
Before Nehemiah came, we had so many challenges. I had no money. I would have not finished my school. Then we also had the challenge of medical care. In our area, we had no nurses. So it was so painful because people could just die. Even a simple outbreak, so many people have passed. Just because of Nehemiah construction, they were able to pay for my school fees, and now I'm living a better life. Life in Lopur, as compared to previously, is a change in Lopur right now. We have medical services, we have education, we have water.
For our culture, everything is being handled by men. A woman is just there to be seen but not to be listened to. For my case, I could not continue with my college, my education. My father was paying for me, but he died. So I had no one to help me. I realized there are many women undergoing the same problem I'm in. So if that is me, what of 100 Turkana women that was suffering?
When you give education to a Turkana person, you are basically empowering him or her. Turkanas are generous by nature. So whatever they have, they give freely.
Due to my education, not only Florence has transformed, but I've transformed 180 young women. They will take their children to school. They will do good businesses. They will be heard in the community. Their lives have really changed.
Now she's out in the desert teaching how to do gardening and market her products. She also teaches them how to save money. It's the ripple effect where, you know, all the families are benefit from one education.
And through it all, we share Christ.
Drill is a platform to demonstrate the love of Christ, where we
and through it all we share Christ.
The drill is a platform to demonstrate the love of Christ. Where we can tangibly just say God loves you, but demonstrate that love.
It says to them that even God knows that they are where they are. Through that we plant a church. From the time we started drilling wells, the churches has grown from 3 to more than 50 churches.
And nobody's going to listen to you if they're dying of thirst. But if you give them water, they'll have a few minutes to listen to what you have to say. And that could change their life for eternity.
Thank you.
My name is Dave McElhenney, and like David Nelson was saying, we've been childhood friends for forever. He's a lot older than I am, but that's all right too. I've watched that video probably 100 times, and I still can't get through it without tearing up, because we know the people, and we see how God is changing their life forever. And so I just wanted, through all of this, when we leave the service, I want everybody to be asking that question: God, here am I, what do you want me to do? And I'm here to go, to do something, and to say yes to the Lord. And that's all we did years ago, said yes. And my wife and I got saved 31 years ago. A year later, we were in Youth with a Mission, learning more about God. And I never went back to work. Well, I have been working, but never went back to a regular job. God has always provided. And then 23 years ago, I got called to Turkana. And it was a one-time thing that I was supposed to go there and build a shelter, do construction, because that's Nehemiah Construction Ministries. But I had no idea that God was going to change the course of our life. So the ripple effect, you never know when the small things we do, what God will use to do great things. And it's, you know, it's not in the Bible. He talks about little things and stuff. So that isn't quite in the Bible, but it's really impacted my life, because, you know, I think everywhere I look, everything I see now, I see the ripple effect of what God is doing. And we just need to say yes and keep going. And so it all started with, because of time restraints, I don't want to keep you guys here till 3, maybe 1. But we started doing construction, and you know, that's what we were focused on, is construction, sharing the gospel and stuff. And so the first year we went and we started building a community center / church. And like it said, I think the hottest it was 52 degrees Celsius. And so we'd work all day. We'd take a break from 2 to 4 in the afternoon. We'd work until it got dark, and then we'd go out and share the Jesus video at night. And so God really used that. And the first year we probably showed it, the Jesus video, on a 13-inch black and no, yeah, it was color TV. Out of the back of our Land Rover, and we showed it to about 1,000 people, and over 150 came to the Lord. And so that was the start of this ministry, to share the love of Christ through the Turkana, even through the Turkana language. I had, there's so many stories of how God orchestrated this, but there was a Jesus video in the Turkana language, so now they could watch the Jesus video in their own language. And so it only took me about 3 days to realize that they really didn't need any buildings. They needed water. The water was killing these people. And so this is a picture that I always put in here. Some of you have seen it before. But I had two businessmen from Medicine Hat, and I was trying to figure out, how are we going to get these people clean water? And so they wanted to see, you know, what the big fuss was about. So I brought them with me. And, you know, business people and, you know, even farmers, they've got a tough exterior, but really inside they're just a bunch of little babies crying all the time. And Dave Nelson especially. So we were up in Lacachaugio because the one guy couldn't stand the heat, so I had to drive him 90 kilometers every day so he could have an air-conditioned room. And so we were leaving the guest house where we were, and we're driving down the road, and I knew exactly what this woman was doing. Somebody had me a camera, so I drove by, snapped a picture. I didn't want to make a fuss. And I stopped around the corner, and they said, well, what is she doing? And I said, well, believe it or not, I said, there's a guest house right up on the corner there that
their septic tank is overflowing into the street, and she's scooping up that water to take it home to her family, because that will, it's liquid and that'll save their lives. In, you know, but she's really poisoning. And so that was the start of it. These, the two businessmen were a basket case in the back seat. They're just bawling and blubbering. And the one guy came home. And raised $100,000 in one day. And we bought our first equipment. So I'm just a mess. This whole Charlie Kirk, this whole week's been a tough one. So we used an old drill. This is our newer drill. It's 2018. Dave came again and helped me. We put this together out in the desert, and that's the one we're using now. So we started drilling water wells in 2007, and we've been going ever since. We've drilled over 165 wells, and that, like, each well, I would say, helps 1,000 people. So right there, you're looking at maybe 165,000 people that Nehemiah is directly. And you guys have been a part of that. Like, this church has been a part of it for... I think we're trying to think, it was either 18 or 19 years that you guys have stood behind us and stuff. And so we thank you very much for that. I'm just trying to get through this to the really, really stuff that God is just doing right now. So this is Lar Philemon. He was a young guy. We paid for his education. And now his first year, one of the chiefs that helped him get this education was... built him a pharmacy out in the desert so that he could help people. And then all the other chiefs in the area found out that he was a nurse and he could help their people too. So now they promoted him, and now he's taking care of about 10,000 people out in the desert. And so that's that ripple effect that I talk about. You never know. The little things we do, God's going to do something great with them. And so... you know, when God asks you to do something, it's just that easy. Just say yes. And even if it's the littlest thing that you think it's not going to make a difference, trust me, the ripple effect will make a difference. So this is Florence again. Her father died. We finished paying her education. And she started farming. She did a school of community development. And so that's some of her vegetables on the side there. It's just incredible. She started with, I think, 140. Well, it started out small, but then she would ride her a little motorbike 120 kilometers out of the desert. When she knew I was coming to town, I'd fly into this little airport. Who was there? Florence. And she'd say, "You won't believe it, Dave. I'm teaching 35 women now." And we'd talk for 5 minutes, and she'd say, "Thank you for my education." And she'd get on her bike and ride back to out into the desert. And this happened every time. And after the third time she'd come, and she said, "I'm teaching 150 people now to grow gardens, to take care of themselves, to market it and stuff." But that wasn't good enough for her. She got into... there was another thing at the church. Pastor Wilson, who you saw in the video, his heart was always like to plant churches. We've helped him plant 60 to 65 churches now and stuff. And so he wanted to go into this, the toughest of the tough places, right? And so he found a piece of land, and he had quite a bit of opposition, but he was determined that this is where God wanted him to plant this ministry. And it was right in the place where there's prostitution and liquor and drugs and you name it. Like, and it's in a town, right? And so they started attracting a lot of prostitutes to the church. And being a man, logical thinking, right? Pastor Wilson said, well, he would go to the women and say, "Well, you know, you're a prostitute, you know, you can't really do that and be a Christian and stuff." And Florence comes to him and says, "Hold it right there. She said, what are you going to have them do if they can't prostitute to take care of their kids? Because that's what it was all about, is taking care of their children. And so she said, give me a couple of weeks. And so she went and found a lady that taught her how to do basket weaving. So Florence started a school. Now she had, I think it was 35 prostitutes, and she was teaching them how to do basket weaving and stuff. And so now she's impacting 185 people in the Turkana Desert. The ripple effect. I'm telling you, God wants you to do something. Just the littlest thing. I met these guys 23 years ago. They were helping us do the building construction and stuff. They're all second sons, so the second sons, they have been told all their lives that you are a waste of skin. If you were a woman, a girl, at least I could sell you and get more goats or camels or whatever. So these young guys, when we, you know, we just showed them kindness. We taught them how to hold a tape measure. They wouldn't even hold, you know, the dummy end of the tape measure, you know, just hold the tape measure, because they thought if they did it wrong, I would beat them. And so once they found out that, you know, all we're doing is just showing them kindness, a little bit of love. So Robert on the left, he's been with the drilling rig now he's worked with me for 23 years. And his story, I sort of lost track of him, but we started drilling water wells. And one day I get out there and I'm looking at him and say, well, that's Robert. He's from Loch Ray, way out. And they said, yeah. I said, well, what's he doing? He says, well, he just loves what you guys are doing and he wants to help. So I said, are we paying him? No, he just wants to be here and work and protect us. So he for 6 months he had been guarding the rig, guarding the men that were working, and he's still with us. He's a man of integrity. And the second guy from the left there, his name is Kolo, and it's like so many Turkana people, they just disappear. And so even these guys, like they were like brothers, they don't know where he ever went. He probably died out in the desert somewhere, and that's the end of it, right? Nobody knows where he is. And then Little John, we called him Little John because there's so many Johns there. He started the church about 12 or 14 years ago, and we've been able to come alongside him. He's planted another church now, so you've got two churches, and they've started, I'll talk a little bit more about it, with working with compassion. And then James also went into another area out in the desert, and he's planted two churches now, and I'll tell you, James's prayer, that it's a great one. So a year and a half ago, I had raised some funds to build a church out in the bush, and James was out ministering at the other church, so he wasn't even at the service. And so I was just sharing with all the people, and we're huddled in this little stick shack. I'm not sure if I have a piece. No. I just said, we're going to build a church in your community, and we're going to start on Tuesday. And so he come back, and somebody had whispered in his ear already, and he couldn't speak. And so finally, at the end of the service, he comes, and he said, I want to pray for the old man. So his prayer, I had I had Ekimat with me. He's my translator. And James starts to pray, and he says, Lord, we just pray for this old white man. Lord, we pray that he keeps coming to Turkana to fellowship with us for a long time. God, even if we have to lead him into church on a donkey. Lord, even if we have to smash his food so he can eat. Bless him and keep him. And so they pray right from their heart. And so that was great. And then this young guy here, met him when he was seven years old. His name's Ekimat. And he wasn't always walking with God. You know, he always hung around us and stuff like this. But He's come around now. He's a leader in the church, and he actually is. He works for Compassion International now and takes care of a school with 500 kids in it. And I talked to him just last time I was there, and he thanks me for always being with him and protecting him and getting him through school and stuff. And he said, this is where I'm supposed to be. So again, you look at that ripple effect. Little boy in the desert, and now he's making a difference in 500 lives. So I mentioned the Jesus video. That's part of our program still. Everywhere the drill goes, we take the Jesus video team, and they share the gospel through the Jesus video in the Turkana language. Like, we have it in Pokot, we have it in Swahili, Arabic, and Turkana, and English, of course. But so we just go out in the desert, and we park, and we start showing the Jesus video, that's usually when the drill is done drilling, they want a church. And so that's how we evangelize, is through the water. God just opens the doors. So this is a bush church, and we're all crowded in there. It's actually not too bad because the wind blows right through it, so it cools you. It just keeps the sun off your head, but it's still pretty warm. So then we started building these metal churches. Everybody wanted the metal church, and there's so many stories about, you know, pastor comes and he says, oh, we're going to build another stick church. And the congregation says, no, we're praying that God will bring us a metal church. And I don't know this at all, right? I just pull up to some area and I said, Wilson, I said, I feel God is asking us to build a church here. And he looks at me and said, these people have been praying for that church for months. And so we built a church. And the first one took 5 days to build. And now we've got it down to a science. I just get some Kenyans that do the building for us now. And it's just expanded. And so now they can build one of these churches in 3 days. And so on Sunday, we fill it up and we have church service and dedicate it. This is one of the new things that we started. Actually, Kathy Nelson had a team of girls, we started doing, it was called Days for Girls. And in the Turkana, well, much of Africa, there's no hygiene products for women, girls, when they reach their puberty. And so we started doing this Days for Girls. And what it is it's reusable, washable sanitary products. And then we have the girls go in and explain how they're used and what they, you know, because otherwise they don't go to school for 7 days in the month because of shame and stuff. And so this is a product. Kathy Nelson had a big hand in getting this started. And in this picture here, this was March of 2024. We gave out packages to 360 young girls. And, you know, here, I don't know if it go over so well in the schools, but they were so excited that somebody thought enough of them to bring these little packages. You know, and I think it costs maybe $10 per person, right? And that's the kind of thing, those little things that we do that, you know, a lot of people, the world doesn't think about it, you know, or we just got to throw money everywhere. Well, that's not really the case. It's you come alongside them and ask them what they need. This is another big one. This is in the wrong order, but that's all right. This is a Compassion. I started a school that we're involved in, but just on the outside of the fence, they came to us and they said, we want to do a pilot project because there's so many babies dying, like out in the desert. There's no care for a pregnant mother. And so a lot of these girls, they get raped, and 13, 14, 15 years old, they're pregnant with no help. And so we built this clinic. We started in November of 2024. We just finished it here about a month and a half ago. It's full to capacity. And what it is it has health care girls there that bring these girls in. They spend the days with them, even post, after they have the baby, teach them how to feed the baby, how to breastfeed, all these things. They even try and get the young men that got them pregnant involved in it, because usually a Turkana man is never involved with the family. And so you're just seeing this change that God is bringing about. And so basically it's, sitting out, it's a beacon. And it's saving lives. And God cares about all these little things. Oh, this is another good one. It was at one of the schools that we were sharing with the girls about the Days for Lives. And the basketball coach come to me, and like he was just a little guy. They're about like this, and I'm thinking, you're a basketball coach? Okay, well, I didn't know you even played basketball. So he was so excited. So he come to me, and I said, well, where do you guys play basketball? So he said, oh, come on over here, I'll show you. So on the end of the schoolroom, it was a cinder block schoolroom, there you could see where there used to be a net on the wall, but there was no net. And I said, well, what do you do there? He said, well, he says, I'm the judge. And he says, and they go and they shoot, and I tell them if it's in or not. So you have to use your imagination, right? So I, oh, okay. I said, so, well, what do you use for balls? He said, well, we don't have any balls. They're all bust. I said, well, how can you play basketball without a ball? Imagination, he says. He said, you dribble, and then you pass it, and it's a good pass, and then you dribble, or, you know, you're traveling or whatever, and then you shoot it. Oh, that's a good basket. So it's all imagination. And my goodness. So the young guy that I had with me, Josh, I said, can you build a basketball hoop? He said, yeah, I can do that. So he got on the internet, got all the measurements, and we built some basketball hoops. We went out there and put it up, and they were so happy. It was just incredible. All these young boys and girls, like we got them basketballs too. I think I bought them three just for spares and stuff. And so they came out, all these young school kids, thank you so much. And as they're leaving to go back to school, every child there with his air ball did a shot at the net. And I just loved it. So the little things, you know, we can brush that off, but I really believe that one day I'm going to see somebody from that little village, a star basketball player. So this is another one. You know, God is just putting people in our path all the time. And, you know, finances is always a challenge, but God always, we always have money in the bank and stuff. And so this is it's a Catholic school, and all the children are handicapped. So basically, if you're handicapped, you're sort of thrown out. And so the nuns, they gather these kids up kids and young adults, and they brought him into this place called Lokachar, and their water was getting really bad. The whole town, their water was getting really bad, and so they called us and asked if we could do anything. And so we did a whole bunch of surveys, and we just finished this. This is just done here now, and we got him water, and we had some extra money, so we said to the guys, our workers, we want you to go through their whole water system and make sure there's no leaks, everything is perfect. Build them new toilets, because their toilets, you didn't even want to go near them. And so they did that, and they just sent me this on, I think it was Thursday or Friday. So that bottom left-hand thing, that's the water container that was holding all their drinking water. And so our guys are going to go in there. We have pressure washers and bleach, and we're going to just clean everything out, and we're going to teach them how to take care of this you know, for themselves. And, you know, we're probably going to get some calls. Can you come and show us again? And that's totally fine. That's why we're there. And our guys, they're all Kenyans that work for us. They love doing what they're doing because they're helping their own people. So this is compassion here. And it actually started quite a few years ago, maybe 5 years ago. Pastor Wilson was here in Canada, and I took him to meet with a guy in Lethbridge with compassion. And they said, oh, man, that sounds really interesting. We don't have anything going on in Turkana. So this guy, he went to bat, and we didn't hear nothing from him for probably 3 years. And then all of a sudden, 3 years ago, they came and they said, we want to start a school in Pelikesh. We had already drilled a well there, but the river had come and washed the well away. And so we said, yeah, we'll help. And so Compassion, they don't build things. They raise money and they take care of kids and stuff. And so they wanted to start this program where they would take care of 180 kids in that community. And so that's what they did. They do all these surveys, and they talk to the parents, and are you going to keep your child in school? And, you know, it's a contract. And so they're doing it the right way. But what happened is after they had their 180, now they opened the school, and they had all these kids on the outside of the fence. They wanted to go to school, too, because there's no school there. And so finally they said, you know, yeah, we have to open up the school. So they opened up the school, so now they have 500 kids. So 180 that they take care of all the time, and then this other 320 that they just show up for school, but they do get a meal. And so, you know, teachers, sorry if there's any teachers here, don't have too much to complain about, because there, 500 kids, they have five teachers. So if there's any teachers that want to go to Turkana with me, I got you a job right now. It doesn't pay much, but it's hot. So we're there, and we did the water. And so they have pure, clean water. And then we also use the water for the pregnancy clinic right outside the fence. And so also a little story about the teachers. Last, in their summer break, everybody goes home, and so these kids don't have anybody, you know, there's no food, there's no nothing for them. And a lot of them walk like 10 kilometers a day just to get to school. And so they said, well, we just can't go home. So I said, well, what do you mean? How are you getting paid? And we're not getting paid. So I talked to my board. We raised some money, and we paid the five teachers their salary for 2 months so they could stay with the kids and take care of the kids while everybody else is on break. And see, that's, they see us doing something and they don't know what they can do, but they want to help. All you have to do is give them an opportunity. And so but they didn't have any food. So again, talking to my board, I need some food. So I think we brought two tons of food out, and so to take them for that 2 months. And they had mangoes once, and so I brought three huge sacks of mangoes out there, and we gave all the kids a mango. And I heard the first time they ever got a mango, they thought they were a ball, so they were all kicking around the yard. And they said, no, you eat them. So this time, I don't have a picture, but they're all just chewing these mangoes down. They just got juice everywhere all over their faces. But it's so rewarding to just be able to be a small part of what God is doing. Again, little things here. You know, a lot of these villages, whenever we go to speak, I always load my truck up with food, and we, after the service, we'll hand out food to all the mamas that are in the congregation so that they can maybe feed their families for a week without worrying about how they're going to get food. Oh, this is a great story. story. We're Pastor Wilson and I were going out to dedicate a church that we had just finished, and we had food in the back, and Wilson, he knew where this old woman lived, and so he said, we have to stop and give her some food. And she has arthritis in her feet so bad, like her toes are all curled up and stuff. She can't hardly walk anymore. And she come out to greet us, and she's talking to Wilson, and it's not a big deal, right? Because she says, I ran out of food yesterday, so I prayed to God, Father, I need food. And so she went to bed last night trusting and knowing that God is going to bring her food. She wakes up, and God had spoken to her in a dream, come to her in a dream, and said, there's two men coming today that will bring you food. And when we showed up, she said, oh, it's about time. God told me you're coming, but he didn't tell me what time. So we gave her the food, but that's what was supposed to happen that day. That was the faith of this woman. And I wished I could just have that faith. So in, you know, everything that we're doing, you know, the word gets out, and this is a need. And so this is a blind woman, and her house had washed away in the rain because they build it with clay, or the red clay, and they smear it on the walls. As soon as it rains, it washes it all down and stuff. And so basically we built her a house, and she's totally blind, living out in the desert by herself. And we thought, well, instead of building her a one-room house, why don't we build her a three-room house, so then she can have two renters that could maybe help her out in her blindness. And so that's what we did, and she's so appreciative of it. But you know, we run into this all the time. Latrines are a big thing. Like, oh my goodness, it's just scary, especially for a Westerner. We're a little bit bigger than these people, and a lot of times you're standing on rusty tin sheets trying to do your business, and you're thinking, oh man, please hold up, Lord, I don't want to fall in there. And so we built a lot of latrines just to help people with their sanitary needs, right? But there's always a need. So that's Marco, and he's one of our workers that guards church compound, and they don't complain about anything and stuff. And one day, he never came to us. One of our pastors came, and he said, you know, have you seen Marco's leg? And Larry, another guy that works with us, he said, no, I haven't seen it. So we went and took pictures, and oh my goodness. I think that was about the third last one, if you can get to it. His leg is black, obviously, and then from here to here, there's no skin on his leg. It's just raw muscle and bone, and just horrifying. And so we got him to the hospital, and he just got released Saturday. So again, that's an unexpected expense, but God has come through. And I think it was like $5,000 US to get it all. This right there, yeah. So you know, all those things, bringing water, bringing food, medicine. Wilson, he goes into the prison to share. They won't let us in yet, but Wilson, he's actually been thrown in jail for whatever reason. He still doesn't know, but when he's there, he just shares the gospel. And so God is just
using him mightily. It's just so exciting. And to think, you know, I always tell people, I said, if you would have told me 30 years ago that God was going to use you to do something, I would have probably ran away, because in my mind, this is way too big. I cannot do this. But if you just think about it, like, just do one little thing at a time, one little thing at a time, $1 at a time, and let God do what he's going to do. It's been a journey. And I have to say that I couldn't do it without my wife. She's behind me all the time, lifting me up. And I wasn't going to say anything, but part of the problem this week here, I was just diagnosed with cancer. And so I don't want pity. Prayers, yes. But I look at it as, okay, God, what are we doing now? And because I'm not done. And so, I'm not done yet. But maybe God has another direction I need to go. I don't know. One of our main goals nowadays is we want to, we're actively looking for somebody to take over this ministry. You're not going to get rid of me that easily. Like, I'm still around to raise funds and speak and do whatever, but we need to start training up somebody, because it's not going to be just a 3-week course and you're going to know what we're doing. Like, this is, it's a lifetime. And so we're looking at somebody that's interested. Just remember, say yes. And so you can see what God has for you to do and stuff. And so this is one of the last slides. This was a young couple. Well, they're not so young anymore, but because I've known them for 23 years, they were young, but now they're getting old with me. And so they could never have children. And I think it was 3 years ago now, they came to me and they said, we would like to do a ministry with street kids in Kakama. So they're trying to get them off the glue. They use shoemaker's glue, and they are animals. It's worse than any drug we have here. It's just crazy. And so they wanted to minister to these kids. And I said, well, make me up a budget and we'll see what we can do. So they did, and I made a couple calls and God brought the finances in. And so we started the first week, and Ben emailed me and said, oh, it was fantastic. We had eight kids off the street. So then the following week, they had 30 kids. And it went up to 60, 70 kids. And now every week they feed and they teach, and then they take them out and they play games and stuff like this. 160, 165 kids every week. And so you think about that in how God sees it, and God loves each and every one of those kids. So if one of those kids rises up to be the next Charlie Kirk or whatever, that ripple effect goes on and on and on. And what we're seeing now is these kids are bringing their moms and their dads to church. And so that's just another way that the church is growing. The churches are growing so much. It's like this. I'm so excited to see this church. It's growing. I think it's probably doubled since I was here last in 2020. But God is in control, even in everything. And you never know when small things you do will be what God uses to do great things. So I don't know if there's anything, Dave, that I won't miss. You want to come up and share? This is some of the needs that we need right now.
Yeah, I got a surprise on my phone. I'm going to look up the Bible verse I was going to close with, and guess who just texted me? Pastor Wilson. And so nobody knows this except me. And he says, good morning and blessed Sunday. My family is doing well, and we thank God for his grace. We had a wonderful service today. I believe you are going with Dave to Westlaw Gospel Chapel. Please pass along our warm greetings and heartfelt thanks, both from Alice and I personally, and on behalf of the Turkana people. Westlaw Gospel Chapel has truly been wonderful friends and faithful partners in the work of the gospel. Kindly extend our greetings to Mazze, Dave, as well.
Old man.
He is blessed. Yeah, I just want to point out one thing. I think we all know now who's the big crybaby. Okay? Anyway, it's always a pleasure to come here. I've said that before, and I'll say it again. Basically, it's the saying yes. I mean, we talked about this, and I said, yeah, that's my thing, too. You know, like, when God calls you, no matter what it is, no matter what it is, just say yes. Because there's a blessing there for you. And if you say no, someone else is going to get that blessing. Because the person behind you will say yes. And I just encourage everyone, listen for God's voice. He will speak to you. You will have a feeling in your heart about something that's on your plate that maybe you don't think you can handle. But ask God for his help, and he will direct you. And John used my scripture at the beginning of this, and quoted Isaiah 6:8, you know, where who will go for us? Here I am, Lord. Pick me. So let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for all that you do in our lives. I thank you that we can look up and see you. We can open our Bible and speak to you. Lord, give us that heart to pray. Give us that heart to pray for our neighbors, for those around us, for those across the world. Lord, even in this happenings of this week, Lord, help us to draw together in unity and pray your blessing upon people that are searching, that you would draw them to yourself, that the Christian community would explode and draw people around them, that it would be a revival, a fever that people would catch and want to be a part of. I thank you for this church. I thank you for Ken and the elders here. I thank you for all the helpers in this church. This has always been a church where people step up, and I've always been honored to be a part of it. Lord, we ask your blessing on everyone here today, and just guide us as we go. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you, Dave and Dave, for your presentation and your heart. Our time is gone this morning. I'm sure that there's lots of kids upstairs and teachers who need